training machine learning models is a popular application in the clouds and data centers. And the growth in data size and model complexity has inspired many recent advances in distributed ML. So as a result, ML applications have better scalability, higher throughput, and faster convergence. But their implementations are often inelastic, and their jobs can't scale out to take advantage of additional resources or scale in when resources must be taken away. But why is this the case? Well, efficient distributed ML training often needs flexible control over their execution. This includes controlling placement of mutable state, scheduling tasks at the application level. Oops. Okay, we're back. Scheduling tasks at the application level, or relaxing the consistency of shared memory access. Existing big data frameworks abstract away the cluster environment from the application, which allows them to automatically provide some elastic behavior, but their programming models have trouble supporting the techniques used by distributed ML. So to achieve higher performance, ML applications are often implemented without using any elastic framework. So our main goal is to design a framework that strikes a balance between two properties. On one hand, having general and flexible programming tools for distributed ML, and on the other hand, abstracting away the details of the underlying cluster so that it can automatically enable elastic execution without placing any extra burden on the application developer. Our framework called LITS achieves this by combining the following. First, over-partitioning the application state. Second, an event-driven programming model. Third, a task-driven consistency model. And lastly, an elastic execution system supporting these abstractions. We show that applications on LITS can complete faster by scaling out to more nodes. They can quickly scale into fewer nodes when requested, while having competitive performance with recent non-elastic systems. So first, a bit of background. We built LITS upon the popular parameter server architecture, where training data is partitioned across worker machines and model parameters are partitioned across parameter servers. Each worker fetches parameter values from the parameter server and computes updates using its own data partition and sends updates to the parameter servers to be applied. ML applications may co-locate mutable state with training data to improve locality of access, resulting in workers which are stateful. For example, the state can be cluster assignments in clustering algorithms or certain parameters in non-parametric models. Furthermore, ML applications may schedule update computations in custom ways according to dependency structures in the model. And doing this type of model scheduling at the application level can greatly improve its convergence rate. A simple example of this is the DSGD algorithm for matrix factorization. It splits its model parameters into the same number of partitions as training data and only schedules updates for non-overlapping sets of parameters in parallel. More complex examples also need dynamic scheduling, such as parallel coordinate descent algorithms. And lastly, ML applications may intentionally relax the consistency of accessing the parameter server, which can greatly reduce the cost of network synchronization. A simple example of this is the stale synchronous parallel consistency model, where workers iteratively compute updates to model parameters, and they can use stale parameters from previous iterations as long as the staleness doesn't surpass a given limit. Furthermore, recent algorithms like adaptive revision are explicitly designed to take advantage of this staleness and can reduce the impact of synchronization errors on its convergence rate. And these characteristics create several challenges for designing an elastic framework. First, it needs to manage application-defined state and be able to rebalance it across a different number of nodes. Second, it needs to provide flexible tools for application level task scheduling while hiding away cluster details like when individual nodes join or leave the active job. And third, it needs to support relaxed consistency models, which means that elastic scaling cannot depend on synchronous execution. So how does Lyft address these challenges? First, to address the problem of managing state, we apply an existing technique called over-partitioning to the parameter server architecture. Instead of directly partitioning the training data and model parameters across physical nodes, they're first partitioned across many logical nodes, which are then mapped to physical nodes by an execution system. And we refer to logical workers as executors and logical parameter servers as PS shards. Each physical node runs an instance of the LITS process, which can contain several executors or PS shards. During a job, the total number of executors and PS shards doesn't change, but can be rebalanced between physical nodes when resource availability changes. For example, let's say we add two worker nodes to a running job and request one parameter server node be removed. The LITS execution system automatically rebalances the workload by migrating the executors and PS shards between physical nodes. So with over-partitioning, the application can define arbitrary state on executors and PS shards because they're treated as black boxes by the execution system. The application also doesn't need to handle the addition and removal of physical nodes because tasks can be scheduled according to a fixed number of executors. However, over-partitioning has some drawbacks. Namely, you need more executors and more PS shards in order to achieve higher maximum parallelism or better load balancing. But managing more executors and PS shards also comes with worse overhead for the execution system. Therefore, a major goal in LITS is to mitigate the performance overhead of over-partitioning. But before we address this issue, let's talk about LITS's event-driven programming model. So at a high level, it decomposes update computations into micro tasks, which are defined and scheduled by the application using an event-driven API. A micro task is a short-lived task whose execution logic is defined by the application. It runs on a single executor. It can access that executor's local state and training data, and it can read values from the parameter server, and it can submit updates to the parameter server. The application implements a task function named runTask, which is invoked to run the microtask, and access to the parameter server is provided by the LITS framework as a key value interface. A special driver node is responsible for scheduling microtasks, and the application provides two scheduling functions. One is handle task completion, which is invoked by the execution system each time a microtask completes. And the second is dispatch initial tasks, which is invoked at the start of a job to give the application a chance to schedule the first task. From these two functions, the application can schedule microtasks for specific executors by using a dispatch function provided by the LITS framework. So the application just defines a few functions which are invoked by the execution system when needed. The execution system starts by invoking the scheduling function on the driver, which lets the application dispatch a starting set of microtasks. The execution system then sends each new microtask to its target executor, where the task function is invoked. And from within these task functions, the application can access the executor's local state and training data, read values from the parameter server, and submit updates to the parameter server. And finally, when the microtask completes, the execution system sends its results back to the driver where the scheduling function is again invoked. So with this event-driven programming model, the execution system migrates executors and PS shards between invoking the application functions, which means that elastic scaling can be transparent to the application. And second of all, by keeping microtasks short, gives the execution framework frequent chances to be able to do this rebalancing, which results in better response times when elastically scaling. So with over-partitioning and the event-driven programming model, applications have flexible control over their state and task scheduling, and the execution system can automatically rebalance the workload during elastic scaling events. However, decomposing the computation into microtasks only adds more to the performance penalty incurred by over-partitioning. So for example, now fetching parameters from every microtask on every executor creates a very high communication load between the workers and parameter servers. And ideally, we want each worker to be able to cache and reuse the parameters they've already fetched. But the problem is, how do we actually decide when a cached parameter can actually be used? We can't explicitly specify the dependencies between microtasks because there are way too many to be specified. So to solve this problem, we apply the following idea. So since the execution system invokes app-defined functions, it can observe how the application makes scheduling decisions. It can automatically infer causal relationships between microtasks based on when the application dispatches a microtask and when the application is notified of a microtask's completion. And using this information, we can derive a task-driven consistency model, which works by following two rules. So first, if the application dispatches microtask B, but after being notified of microtask A's completion, then LITS will infer that the completion of A may have caused the dispatch of B, and LITS will ensure that B will observe all the updates made by A. On the other hand, if the app dispatches microtask B before being notified of microtask A's completion, then the system infers that the completion of A did not cause the dispatch of B, and B may observe some, all, or none of the updates made by A. And the first rule gives a very strong ordering guarantee, which is needed by application-level model scheduling. And the second rule is left intentionally weak, which enables the execution system to be able to cache and reuse parameter values. So let's see how this consistency model can be applied with two examples. So first, consider a directed dependency graph of microtasks. The application can enforce dependencies by doing the following. At the start of a job, dispatch all microtasks with no dependencies. And with the completion of each microtask, dispatch any microtasks whose dependencies are now satisfied. Our task-based consistency model ensures that each microtask observes all parameter updates made by the microtasks it depends on. Second, consider a relaxed consistency strategy like stale synchronous parallel. It can be expressed by the application by doing the following. When the job starts, we dispatch all the microtasks in the first S plus one iterations, where S is the staleness limit. And whenever a complete iteration finishes, so all the microtasks in an iteration completes, we dispatch all the microtasks in the iteration that's S plus one in the future. So by doing this, each microtask in each iteration can observe some, all, or none of the updates made by the microtasks in the previous S iterations, and which means that the microtasks may reuse cached parameters fetched within the previous S iterations. So using this task-driven consistency model, we can implement an efficient parameter cache. The execution system maintains a single version number, which is incremented each time a microtask completes. Each microtask is tagged with the version number at the time it was dispatched, and it's also and each parameter in the cache is tagged with the version number at the time it was fetched. When a microtask reads a parameter value, the execution system can reuse a cached value if its version number is at least the microtask's version number. So The over-partitioning of application state, event-driven programming model, and the task-driven consistency model decouples the ML application from the underlying cluster environment while providing flexible programming tools for distributed ML. At the same time, they give enough visibility and control over the over the application so that the execution system can automatically provide elasticity and efficient execution. And we implemented a simple execution system for LITs in C++, and we'll only give a brief overview here, but if you're interested, the details are in the paper. First, the execution system migrates executors and PS shards during elastic scaling events, and it does so using a simple static load balancing strategy where it keeps the number of executors and PS shards equal on all the physical nodes. And it implements the parameter caching according to our task-based consistency model described from before. It also implements update aggregation, which combines updates from different executors before sending to the parameter server, and also cooperative multitasking between executors so that when one is blocked on the network, others can still make progress. And to evaluate LITs, we looked at several directions. So first, the performance overhead of over-partitioning. Second, elastic scaling, both in terms of the speed up gained from scaling out to more nodes and in terms of how quickly the nodes can be released. And third, the raw performance compared with state-of-the-art non-elastic systems. And we showed results for two popular ML applications, which are multinomial logistic regression and latent Dirichlet allocation. And we chose these two because they span a wide variety of execution patterns used by ML applications. MLR uses a gradient-based optimization and takes advantage of relaxed consistency. And LDA is a sampling-based approximation algorithm and performs model scheduling and uses stateful workers. To evaluate the performance overhead of over-partitioning, we fixed the number of physical nodes while increasing the number of executors. We run MLR on 4 physical nodes and LDA on 12 physical nodes, and we make sure that the baseline number of executors saturates all the physical cores available. By further increasing the number of executors by a factor of 16, we see a 10% runtime overhead for MLR and 20% runtime overhead for LDA. And even though, you know, we do incur a small performance penalty for these jobs, what the jobs gain is the potential to scale out to 16 times as many physical nodes when they're available. But does scaling out to more nodes actually result in faster job completion? This is not actually obvious because the cost of scaling could outweigh the benefit of using additional resources, or the system could simply not be scalable to higher numbers of nodes. And to test this, we scale out to more nodes during a job and compare the runtime with a static execution without scaling out. For MLR, we scale from 4 to 8 nodes, and for LDA, from 12 to 24 nodes. And we find that by scaling out, the jobs do indeed complete faster by about 22% for MLR and about 27% for LDA. And we compare these scale-out times with an ideal runtime that's calculated by interpolating two static resource experiments and assuming that rebalancing happens instantaneously. And we find that our actual scale-out time for MLR is only 1% away from the ideal, and for LDA is only 5% away from the ideal. On the other hand, when scaling in, we often care about how quickly the requested resources can be released so that they can be allocated elsewhere. We measure this time both for MLR, requesting 4 out of the 8 nodes, and for LDA, requesting 12 out of the 24 nodes. For MLR, we find that scaling in can be done in just 2.5 seconds, and this is because the MLR workers are stateless, which means that the execution system only needs to migrate the PS shards and to wait until all the currently running microtasks are finished. For LDA, however, scaling in takes around 43 seconds, and this is because LDA keeps a large amount of state on each worker which needs to be transferred over the network. And lastly, we want to show that even in non-elastic settings, this can perform well, and the performance cost of its abstractions are low. And we compare with recent non-elastic systems, running each job from start to finish without elastically scaling it. For MLR, we compare with Boson, which is a parameter server system designed for stale synchronous parallel workloads. And both trials use the same staleness limit of 2, and we find that MLR on LITS completes about 8 times faster. For LDA, we compare with Strats, which is a system for model scheduling workloads. And both applications use a block partitioned model scheduling similar to DSGD that was described before. And we find that this is around 6% slower. So nevertheless, this kind of demonstrates that even in static settings, this can achieve roughly competitive performance with non-elastic systems. So in summary, we tackle the problem of elasticity for distributed ML using 3 techniques. First, applying over-partitioning to the parameter server architecture, which enables an execution system to automatically rebalance application state. Second, an event-driven programming model, which lets the execution system respond quickly to elastic scaling events. And third, a task-driven consistency model, which mitigates the performance overhead of the previous 2 techniques. And as a result, our LITS framework is able to support the techniques used by distributed ML, and at the same time be able to still achieve the non-elastic performance of the recent systems. Thank you.
So if you have a question, please introduce yourself quickly. I'm just trying to remember you guys.
Ekin Akkush from Bell Labs. I just was wondering, when do you decide to scale out or scale in? Mm-hmm. Is it on demand according to a user specification, or does the system sort of determine that the system needs, the job needs more resources and therefore tries to scale out?
Right, so as part of our work, we didn't do any investigation into policies for scaling in or out. We assumed that there is either a cluster scheduler or a user that's telling the job when to scale on.
So related to that, when you were showing that the benefits of scaling out with LITS was like 22% or 25% for both of these cases, when did you actually try to scale out?
Yeah, for those applications, it was around 30 to 40% of the way through the job.
Okay.
And yeah, that it kind of depends how much benefit you get is the time you scale out. And that's why we included comparisons with an ideal scale-out that assumes that the overhead is zero.
Okay, thanks.
Miki, you Toronto? So I'm trying to figure out, you want to get to compare yourself to static scale-out systems, right? Rather than dynamic, elastic, right? Mm-hmm. The thing is, obviously overhead is a big deal, but your comparisons, the baselines are, I mean, have you tried TensorFlow or like MXNet or something that I've never heard of those systems. So maybe they're good. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just, I don't know. I don't know, like your system may be twice as fast as something people use or maybe twice as slow. I don't know. Right.
Yeah, so in our paper, we do show a comparison with TensorFlow for a DNN experiment. So it's difficult to compare with TensorFlow because they're kind of aimed at different levels of programming usage, where something like LITS would be used for more of an execution layer than a end-user programming layer.
So I would have to split my program, and I still don't know whether it's better or not.
Yeah, so in our experiments where we compared with the deep neural networks, we programmed the, a fixed deep NN directly in the application. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Hi, Liang from University of Washington. Great work. I have a simple question. Maybe I missed the first half of the talk. So in these algorithms, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like the workload seems to be fixed in each iteration. What is the incentives of doing elastic in this case?
Sorry, could you repeat your
question? So for example, if you're training a neural net, the workload seems to be the same across each iterations or epochs. What is the incentives of doing elastic work partition in the middle of the work? Why isn't the best policy starting at the beginning and or the end? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
So in our work, we didn't really explore policies for elastically scaling in or out. Right. Being able to scale out to use more resources is generally desired for large batch jobs.
All right. I guess the question is, maybe you have some workload that actually uses different resources at different time frame? Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, I have one question as well. So you mentioned within a job, the number of executors remains, they don't change, right? Mm-hmm. So did you consider the case, supporting the case where the number of executors can be scaled up and down during mm-hmm. a job? And sorry, this same question for the parameter servers. Mm-hmm. Do you consider scaling up and down the parameter servers as well? And related to this, would it make sense to decouple storage from compute? Would that simplify some of the scaling up and down decisions or implementations?
Right, so the reason that we assume a fixed number of executors throughout the job is that to enable our model scheduling capabilities, we allow the application to schedule to explicit executors. And if the number of executors change throughout their job, the application then needs to be able to handle that change. And that's why in our work we didn't really consider that.
The parameter servers for the parameter servers is the...
Yeah, so the parameter servers are definitely easier to be able to change the number. But we found that in most cases, you can over-partition the parameter servers by a lot, and it still doesn't really impact performance. I think in the parameter server case, you could dynamically scale that. Yeah, but that's not something that we did in our implementation.